you would join me in our prayer for understanding God's Word. O God, nations shall come to your light, and rulers to the brightness of your dawn, by compelling radiance of your Spirit, draw us near, reveal your truth, and teach us faithful obedience to your holy word. Amen. Pastor Neil's talked an awful lot about football today already. I always find that interesting when his team loses. I always try to take, if my team loses, I try to take the importance off of that. But, you know, this Sunday, I'm sure everybody's going to watch some football today, and I'm one of those people, and they're going to talk an awful lot about these great plays that some of these guys make, and they're going to put it on ESPN real quick. And, you know, and I'm not putting it down because I'll be one of them, and I love watching the games, and I certainly like it when people clap for me and everything else during our games. But today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, and it talks about something great that God does. But it seems to me, and I'm not, you know, I haven't studied theology, but when God does something great, there's confusion. And then there's people that get it wrong, and then we take a little while, we don't put it on ESPN, and then we finally figure it out. And it happens just the exact same way here. So maybe the great things that we do need to have confusion and people getting it wrong first, because this is really something truly great. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the last for the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard that the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue this journey of faith. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for being at work. Keep us open to seeking what is most important, to seeking Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Two sisters in Christ approached me before the first service, and they had kind of a look of panic on their eyes, and I'm never exactly sure what is going to be set right before me, but that's okay. I'm a pastor. It's part of my job to receive these emergencies and to take care of these big, urgent issues. And what was it that these two sisters in Christ had to lay before me and ask me? "We need more cookies!" They were panic-stricken. So I told them where to find more cookies. That's another job of the pastor, knowing where the cookies are in the church. You know, a sister in Christ had brought up her granddaughter and friend before worship today, And she said, you know, Pastor, I'm so sorry that I couldn't give you any more cookies at Christmas. And in a very grandmotherly kind of thing, she pointed at her granddaughter and said, she ate them all. I don't need any more. None at all. I don't need anything, although I appreciate those things that are coming like that. But I don't need those things. And I'd like us to think about what we need, what we actually need in our lives, what we actually need. Now, a young friend, in our time with the kids, we have smart kids. He said we need food, shelter, water. Yeah, we need those things. And we're blessed by them. We pray for those brothers and sisters who don't have those things. There are plenty that don't. But what do we actually need as believers, as those who claim the name of Jesus Christ? We need God. And we become closer to God. We become more intimate with God as we continue to open ourselves to God through that saving relationship that God gives us through Jesus. A Stephen King novel. Some of you are probably familiar with Stephen King. It's okay to admit that you read Stephen King. It's for entertainment. Wrote a novel called Needful Things. And in this novel, set in a fictional New England town, it talks about a kindly old gentleman who opens kind of a thrift shop. And in that thrift shop are all sorts of wondrous things. In fact, the people in the town, as they go in, remarkably, they find exactly what they feel they need. Maybe it's something that they've wanted all their lives. And they find it in this little dinky thrift shop. Everybody does. The problem is, no one can afford it. So, what the kindly gentleman does is, makes them a deal. I'll give you that thing that you think you need, but you have to play a trick on one of your neighbors. And this is the deal that takes place. So not only does one person go in and get something that they need, but the whole town. And then, since that deal is made with each and every person, you know what starts happening. Tricks are played on one another, and the town sinks into chaos. Well, turns out, the kindly old gentleman is none other than the devil himself. And his plan all along was to play on what he thought people needed, what they thought they needed. The sign over his store should have been heeded, caveat emptor. Buyer, beware. What do you need? What is it that you truly need in your life? You know, we go from one thing to another and collect stuff. Anybody have a place where they collect stuff? An extra shed, storage unit, a house, a car? I need that. Wow, I really need that. That's gonna really help. That's gonna really do something for me. And then we get it, and then we need something else. The wise men, the magi, the astrologers, whatever you want to call them, needed something. And they weren't really sure what it was, but they were following this star. And they were guided to follow this star. And they were moving along. And this star had a pretty big impact. But whenever they told about this star to King Herod and to those who were around him that heard, guess what? They shook up the king. They startled the king. They were still willing to follow. They were still willing to go ahead and travel. and follow this star wherever it led. No question about that. So even though it was stirring up other people, even though they weren't really sure what they were going to find, and even though they might have been a little bit nervous themselves seeing the response of other people following this, what did they do? They continued on the journey. There was a strong witness here, a very powerful witness of faith here. Continue the journey. Continue to follow, even when it gets a little bit scary. For on that journey that God puts us on, even though we might not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future, and it's God. We can trust in God. We understand that as we're on that journey, we start understanding really what we need as well. What did the wise men do with those very expensive gifts? Those really elaborate displays of worship and adoration. They didn't say, well, you can have a little bit. I got to hold on to the rest of it. It's going to be a long journey back home. They handed it all over. They let go of it. They realized they didn't need all of that. They didn't need all of that wealth. In fact, even all of their earthly power, they probably realized in the presence of that infant or that child was substandard. What they realized is that they needed Jesus. And when we realize that, there's so much more peace. When we realize that what we need is Jesus, there's healing. When we realize what we need is Jesus, there's hope. There's hope. We experience God's grace in an even more intimate manner. What do you need right now? What did you come today thinking you needed? What do you think that you need right now? What are you going to leave today feeling that you need more than anything? That relationship that God gives us, that's saving, wholesome, stretching, healing, strengthening, loving relationship that God gives us with Him through Jesus is what we need. And that's what's offered each and every day. We have a way to be able to celebrate that. We have a way to be able to literally taste of the goodness of God offering us Jesus once again. To know us more intimately. For us to know God more passionately and love Him more fully. Communion and gathered around the table as God's people. We remember what we need, and it's Jesus above all else. If those who are going to be serving communion would come forward at this time as we prepare, this table is an open table, and it reminds us every time we gather, as we look at this table and as we consider these elements of grace, that God offers that grace to us. Later on, much later on, Jesus, as He grew into a man and taught and loved, He gathered with His friends and He broke the bread. And He offered it to them. And He said, "This is My body broken for you, given for you. And as you receive this, you will be reminded that you are My body in the world, broken but offered." God loves us so much that this is given to us today. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after doing that, He poured out the cup. And in so doing, He offered astonishing words. disciples maybe didn't know what they needed before that evening, but afterwards they sure did become aware. Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for forgiveness of sins. This is offered now. And as you receive this, remember that you are forgiven, that God's grace is at work in your life, always and already." This is an offering of love from God, given for the people of God, and we are those people. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive these offerings of grace, you will be invited to come forward to receive them as well. It's an open table. All are welcome.